Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Peach State Prospects, your go-to podcast for all things Atlanta Braves minor league system. Well, the season has come and gone, and so this week we will be dedicating to kind of a season review. We're going to talk about some of the players that really opened our eyes, who we think needs to prove some next season, and then, who might potentially have an impact on the Atlanta Braves next year going into 2025, which makes me feel like I'm really old. Joining me today are my two co-hosts, Garrett Spain and Joe Carson. Garrett, how are you doing today? How have you been over the past couple of weeks? It's been some time since we connected, as we've been trying to shuffle out these work schedules and things like that, but definitely getting back into the groove. Yeah, how are you doing today, Garrett?
Yeah, I'm good. It's been kind of a bit weird not having minor league baseball, but a bit refreshing to have a couple of weeks to kind of just relax and, focus. I wouldn't call it relaxing based on what we're seeing at the major league level, but it's been a bit, we've had a little time away, a little time too, to kind of gather thoughts and, really get into it.
Oh, for sure. Joe, how are you doing? I know you had a exam pretty recently and just going crazy at work. So how have you been doing the past couple of weeks?
No, overall, I can't complain. Been a little bit hectic in my schedule with work and school, and just brought home a new puppy not too long ago. So I've been not a
Yeah.
day's gone by without my hands full over here, but can't really complain.
And Black Lab.
Yes. Yep.
Adorable. Adorable, adorable. Well, as I said just a little bit earlier, this episode is going to be dedicated mainly to kind of a season review. So let's go ahead and get things started. All right, Garrett, I'm going to go to you first. Who really exceeded your expectations this season? Not necessarily, I'm not even keeping this just to, our top 30. Overall, in the entire organization outside of the major league team, like who really opened your eyes?
Well, I think the answer for all of us, the number one answer for all of us is going to be Drake Baldwin. I was a big Drake Baldwin guy coming into the year. I really thought he was underrated compared to where he was, nationally. I thought he was a guy who was going to stick a catcher from a defensive perspective. I thought he was a good enough hitter, a guy who would be a, major league platoon catcher. And then he pretty much upended all of those expectations. He looked fantastic defensively. He was the best hitter by a mile in the minor leagues this year. And he's the guy that, I don't know how you guys feel about him, but I think it's between him and AJ Smith-Shawver, but I might have already pushed him to that number one spot in the system. I mean, just the work he did this year was fantastic. He pretty much answered every question we had for him. His ability to hit breaking balls, his ability to hit lefties, everything that he did this year was spectacular, especially his work at AAA towards the end of the season. One of the better minor league seasons we've seen in a long time, and one of the best, probably the best hitting position player the Braves have had since Michael Harris. So, that's a pretty good little group to be in. On the pitching side, I think Didier Fuentes, unfortunately, got hurt towards the end of the year, but a great season, a guy who went from, a young guy who struggled last year to a guy who was really that team's best pitcher. And that was a really good crop of pitchers on that team as well. And he was the best of the group pretty much from April to the end of the year. He dominated, and a guy that went from borderline top 30 type to one that I think we all have in our top 12 right now.
Those were some pretty prominent names. Before I go into some of those questions that you asked, Jay, I want to hear your thoughts as well.
Sure. Can't really argue with either of those. But for me, J.R. Richie, it was good to see him back out there. We all knew he had a lot of talent in his arm, but it's kind of been, a lot of issues going on with him on the injury side, and it just hasn't really been on the field much. But seeing what he can do back on the mound this year, had a really strong time there in Augusta. You could really see what was so enticing about him when the Braves drafted him. It's easy to see him securing one of those top spots on the prospects list going into next year. I'm really excited to see him get a full year back on the mound.
I gotta say, I do love how you went, J.R. Richie, because again, for me coming into this year, he was such an unknown, huge, on everyone's radar, massive prospect. Everyone knew about the arm talent, but seeing how he would respond to the injury, plus overall actually being able to watch him pitch, something I hadn't really been able to do. Not only did he recover from that Tommy John surgery and had that command going pretty early on, he looked like the part. He looked like a top prospect, and next season's going to be so much fun to watch him develop. It's really sucks that Owen Murphy got hurt, because just watching the two of them battle would have been really, really cool to see. Garrett, you talked about Drake Baldwin potentially being your number one prospect. For me, I think that AJ Smith-Shawver's ceiling is just unbelievable based on we know the arm talent. We've seen what he can do. The big question is, can you put it all together versus Drake Baldwin, who has seemingly put it all together? He's hitting for average, hitting for power. We know what he can do behind the plate. He's looking like a complete prospect and someone that absolutely deserves to be on a major league roster. It's going to be very interesting how the Braves kind of figure out what they want to do with him, how they're going to handle this roster going into the offseason. Love the idea of him in Atlanta. I think, I do think for me, I have him leapfrogged. I think I'd have him as my number one prospect, which is kind of crazy to say because I have been and still am so high on AJ Smith-Shawver. And then you have to factor in, next year, Cam Caminiti coming in. Like, that's another arm that has that high ceiling that could potentially battle for that. I want to see him come in and kind of just, for someone who's going to be, I think he's going to be 18 the entire first year of his professional season. Like, it's going to be a special, special season to see from him and just seeing how he acquaints himself to professional baseball. So, yeah, thank you for that, you too. Any other names, anybody else that you just kind of want to tip your hat to in terms of like how they perform, someone that you might be like interested in seeing? Maybe it wasn't on your list to begin the year, but now it's like, okay, maybe I need to make some time for this guy next year.
I would say Hayden Harris. It's pretty high up there. A guy that went from, not on my top 30 to, or, at the back end of it to one that I pretty solidly feel is a major league reliever. There were a lot of, I had a lot of questions for him of, can you succeed throwing 80% fastballs at the upper levels? He really did a good job of that. Improved his command. We'll see how the secondaries come along, but right now that's a guy that is thriving with a low 90s fastball. It's pretty impressive, and that's a guy that definitely impressed me.
Once he gets that walk rate down, like it really does seem he's destined for the league and for a very, very long time. Joe, how about you?
Yeah, someone I'm looking forward to keep an eye on too is someone we actually spoke with on this podcast, Mitch Ferris. I want to watch him continue to progress. He was excellent as someone who wasn't really talked about a lot, and really excited to see what he has in store for us to back up what was really a strong year for him.
I really like that. And I know the three of us were even talking about how he almost deserved to start that game one for Rome. Someone who had a very, very strong entire season, didn't really have any real downs, mainly just ups the entire year. And of course, took the time to join us. So that puts him, a couple additional points in our prospect rankings. We're going to switch gears a bit. We talked about who exceeded your expectations. Joe, I want to go to you first. Who do you feel has something to really prove? Maybe not necessarily had the greatest year this year, or potentially just wasn't available. Who are you looking, or who do you need to see more out of? And who do you think is capable of doing more than what they did this year?
So yeah, I have a couple. One is one I think that everyone had high expectations of this year. I think for people who weren't quite paying attention to lower levels, maybe got their hopes up a little too high on. And no real fault of his own. I think he was rushed due to some necessity and a little bit of an overreach on the part of the Braves. But Hurston Waldrop still has so much talent. He has a devastating splitter. That we all agree is a big league pitch, but he has to figure a way out to get missed bats with his fastball. He just couldn't seem to do it consistently, and that's the thing that is going to hold him back. If he cannot get people off of that splitter, hitters off that splitter, big league hitters are just not going to swing at it. If they know that's all you have to throw at him, they're just going to lay off of it, and there's no way you're going to be successful without using that fastball. He's got plenty of velo. He just has to figure out how to make it into a major league pitch. And without that, I don't know what his future holds. So he's got to prove that to not just me, but the Braves. He's got to prove to himself that he can do it, which I think he can. And I really, it's just going to take some work. And then secondly, for me is AJ Smith-Shawver. We all saw him start game one of the postseason for the Braves. He's clearly had the Braves had him working on a lot of things this past year. So his numbers don't really look that great, but they don't tell the full story. And I'm really looking forward to seeing what an off season of working on these changes will do for him going forward, because I think he has to be someone you're going to have to count on next year for sure.
We've talked about it. Seems like they found the slider shape that AJ Smith-Shawver will leverage moving forward. So let's hope that he has a completely healthy offseason and he's really able to unleash himself next year, because like you said, like the talent is there. We know exactly what he can do, what's possible out of him. Let me rephrase that. Garrett, how about you?
Yeah, I want to talk a little bit about more about Hurston Waldrop here. And, you know, he had four straight starts there after he came back from this injury where he didn't miss a single bat. He had zero swings and misses for four straight starts, which is absurdly bad. I don't think I've ever seen a guy miss that few fastballs. And, you know, a lot of that was his arm slot slightly changed, whether that was due to the injury or the Braves doing that intentionally. His arm slot changed. He lost a lot of the vertical movement on his fastball. He lost a couple miles per hour off of that fastball. His last start of the year, got seven whiffs on the fastball, higher velocity, more, a higher induced vertical breaks and more carry on the pitch. So he looked better at the end of the year. But, you know, I think we talked about it. You know, we definitely talked about it before he was called up. He wasn't ready. And we knew he wasn't ready. And we knew he was going to get hurt. And one of the things that I said was, is he can't rely on a 50% chase rate on his splitter like he did at the lower levels. And the problem that he ran into was, is he faced hitters experienced enough to be able to handle that. And at the lower levels, you can survive on a single quality secondary because hitters are just kind of locked in on crushing fastballs and they're not good enough at recognizing pitches to lay off when you tunnel one out of the zone. And so a pitcher like Waldrop can kind of just survive off that splitter and guys aren't going to be able to do anything with it. And that's why you saw the Braves at AA make him throw that fastball and slider. And so, you know, when he got to the major leagues, he looked good that first time through the order, and then hitters figured out he doesn't throw that splitter in the zone. He just doesn't throw it in the zone. It had something like a 30% zone rate, I think, at AAA for a while there. That may not have been the case towards the end of the year because he did throw it in the zone more at the end of the year, but he was throwing the pitch out of the zone, and hitters knew this is the only pitch he has. He's going to throw it out of the zone. If I see that splitter out of the hand, there's no point even looking at it. So they're sitting dead red on him. His fastball, good velocity, but not a ton of movement. So hitters were able to just sit on him, crush him, and any other pitch he threw, they just spat on it and he racked up walks. And so the big thing that he's going to have to do is to be able to throw his slider and his splitter for strikes and not just throw it down the middle and hope it works, but actually throw quality strikes with it. And we saw an effort with that with his splitter towards the end of the year of throwing that pitch in the zone more often. And it's a pitch that's good enough to survive in the zone. So he has to be able to do that to get hitters off of his fastball and to make it to where, you know, if he's pitching off that splitter and that allows his fastball to get enough whisk because hitters are looking for the splitter and the fastball gets up on him and, you know, it kind of moves in the opposite direction of that splitter. So it will play up because of that. You can kind of tunnel the slider off of that because it moves in the opposite direction, but it's really based on, can he throw enough strikes with the splitter to get outs? And he didn't do that very well this year. He did, you know, in that last start, he did a better job and he was throwing harder. That's, you know, a big key for him. I don't know that he's going to be able to survive, you know, averaging 93, 94, 95. I think when he's in the 94 to 96, 97 range, he's a lot better with that pitch, obviously. So, you know, I think the velocity for him, but I think the command of the fastball and the command of that splitter in the zone is really what he has to work on going forward. And the talent is there. I don't think, you know, obviously I want everyone to kind of discount what he did at the major level this year and somewhat of what he did at the end of the year, because he was obviously hurt. He was hurt. He was obviously working on his approach and he just wasn't ready. So kind of discount that. Don't let that affect your opinion of him too much. I don't think that he's even going to be ready next year. I think there's going to be a long time, at least for the first half of the year, where he's going to have to be in AAA, and he's going to have to figure out how can I make an approach that works. It's AJ Smith-Shawver, same situation. He has to figure out an approach that works, because we saw the same problem with him, against the Padres. He couldn't throw anything but the fastball for strikes, so they sat on that pitch and they crushed it. So I really think that's really the step that Waldrop needs to make to get to the next level and be a guy that can start at the major league level. Otherwise, you're looking at a guy that's going to kind of just have to get into the bullpen and hope that it works there. And I just don't think that that's a great role for him. Outside of, not to rant too much here, but outside of Waldrop, most of the guys that we were looking at are guys that were hurt a lot, like Jose Perdomo. The big guy there that was hurt, I would say, would be David McCabe. He's going to be 25 next year. He hasn't had any success above high A. I don't worry too much about what he did this year, because he missed a lot of time and he wasn't expected to be very good. But for a guy who I don't think he's six at third base, so you're looking at a first base DH type, he's going to have to hit a lot better than he did this year. And he's going to have to hit well pretty quickly, because he's going to be coming up on Rule 5 eligibility. A guy that's first base DH only, he's got a great eye at the plate. He could be a 30-plus home run bat, but, if he's striking out 30% of the time at A ball, it's really going to be hard to see him fitting into a role if he's only playing first base.
I think the two of you kind of knocked this out of the park. At the top of my list is Hurston, Waldrop. Garrett, you did a fantastic job of kind of summarizing some of the issues we've seen with him and kind of the overall issues we've seen like with his development. I think that's a great note next season. I don't want to see him in Atlanta, just like, period, even if he has an outstanding spring training, because he needs to find that approach. He needs to figure out what can work, because that whole no whiff in four games things is just kind of absolutely outrageous to even think about. You also brought up Jose Perdomo. For me, he pretty much missed his age 18 season. He only played in, I think like 10 or less games. That's just development lost from an entire year. That's frustrating to see. Want to see him nice and healthy and ready to go at the very start of the season. Moving on from there, I would love to see Luis Guanipa. I want to see the approach change a little bit. I'm not really worried about him. It's just the struggles with off speed, which exactly with breaking pitches, which is what happens with someone so young, and especially an international player. So not really a concern. I just want to see him make those adjustments, kind of like what we saw from another really noteworthy international prospect in Ronald Acuna, who, again, I've talked about this on this podcast before, but when I had issues with him in the curveball, he seemingly fixed it within a month. So not really expecting anything crazy like that, but I do want to see a better approach with the breaking pitches from Guanipa, from, all those, from the big three, actually, in Augusta. David McCabe, you brought up, Garrett. I totally agree with that. The approach is fantastic. We saw he had a great walk rate, but he simply was not making contact while in Mississippi. And like you said, he's rehabbing from a Tommy John surgery. So like, wasn't really expecting too much, but he is going to be 25. This is that time he needs to make a serious move. Otherwise he can find himself outside of the organization or in a different one via the Rule 5. Cause the idea behind David McCabe and what he can do with the bat is intriguing. I can see teams latching on and giving him a chance. But you want to see the Braves need position players to excel, so they just need him to really start clicking. This year was really meteoric rise for Giancarlo Lara, and really he firmly in my top 15. The only thing I want to see him work on is a better, just better command, really. Like, I'm not expecting him to turn around in the offseason and become like Pedro Martinez or anything like that. We saw him still manage to miss bats when he wasn't even able to locate anything in Mississippi. People still weren't able to hit what he had to do. Want to see that command. What really want to see him focusing on that command, see where he is next season, because the arm talent is tremendous. He's someone that easily has the talent to be in Major League Baseball. So being able to hone in and throw strikes is going to be a big thing for him. I would be remiss not to bring up the likes of Douglas Glaude and really Diego Benitez. Those are two players that fell, and they fell hard. Diego Benitez, I'm not even sure is in the organization next year. And he's someone that was a particularly big bonus guy, but he hasn't hit. They switched him from shortstop to third base, and he was asked to leave camp early and go back home and kind of clear his head. He's someone that did not have a good 2024, and there's serious risk about him not even being in the organization going into next year. Now, I will say I do expect him to be just because the Braves gave him a lot of money in that free agency period, but he can find himself outside of baseball sooner than later. And that's, kind of crazy to think with someone with his track record and with his talent. So those are a few of the people that, opened, not necessarily open eyes, but like raised some concerns. And it's going to be really interesting to see how some of these players adapt, how what they work on during the offseason and what they're able to bring to the organization and really to themselves next year, because ultimately the most important thing is not necessarily success to the Braves, but it's the success for these individuals. So really want to see all of them succeed and do well. Shifting gears once again, we've talked about who exceeded our expectations, who we think has something to prove. I want to go a lot more immediate. Who do you think will impact the Braves' plans next year and in what role? Garrett, let's hear from you first.
There are a lot of guys here that I think will kind of make an impact. We mentioned Hayden Harris. Domingo Gonzalez is another guy that, he's a Rule 5 eligible guy this year. So I think he will be on the 40-man roster going into next year. So there's going to be a lot of pitchers that I think get major league opportunities. You mentioned Lara as well. But I still think, the guy that's going to be the biggest impact is A.J. Smith-Shawver. I think we expected that this year. He ran into, he's 21 and he ran into some trouble. I don't think that that's anything that's too concerning for me long term. He's shouldn't be where he is at this point at his age, and he ran into some issues, but he's still a guy that I think he figured out that slider. It will take some time to figure out the approach. He has to command his pitches better. Specifically, he has to stop leaving off-speed pitches in the middle of the zone. He gave up a lot of home runs by throwing off-speed pitches basically right down the middle or fastballs right down the middle. And so being finer on the edges of the zone is really what he needs to do next year. I think the pitch mix is there now. I think obviously, the changeup has gone from a good to elite pitch. And he's a guy that I really think could fit as a mid-rotation starter. And he's going to get all the chances. I mean, you have to expect that guys are going to get hurt. Max Fried is probably not going to be here next year. So for A.J. Smith-Shawver, the Braves are going to give him the keys and say, go prove that you are one of our three postseason starters or, one of our four guys that we really can rely on going forward. And I think it's a good opportunity for A.J. Smith-Shawver to really, the talent is there. And I think that he's very close to being ready for that next step as long as the command improves. And, there was a lot of changes. There were a lot of changes for him this year that, he just has to get used to. And I'm hoping that it's going to come into play next year, even if it's a couple of months into the season. The other guy that I really like is Lucas Braun. I've talked about him a lot this year, how much I like him. I think that he's, I don't think he's going to get a consistent spot next year just because of the amount of pitchers there are that are going to be vying for starting pitching spots. But the Braves use 10 to 11 guys every year, and he's going to be one of those 10 to 11, a guy that could get, a handful, 5 to 10 starts next year, and a solid back end type that I think is, we mentioned it in our episode about Lucas Braun versus a guy like, say, a Bryce Elder, a guy like Darius Fiennes, who's more of a quad A type who can be a fifth starter if you need him to fill innings. I think Braun's good enough to be a true fifth starter, fourth, fifth starter that every 5 days you feel like, okay, we have a 50% or better chance to win this game when he is on the mound. I think he's one of those type of starters. I don't think he's the type of starter that we're going to see unless the velocity comes forward. Now, he has shown times, towards the end of the year, his velocity was better. If the velocity continues to go up, that could be a fastball that plays well enough for him to be a mid-rotation starter. I'm not necessarily looking forward to that, but I think he's going to be a guy that has great command, a great slider, also a curveball, changeup, fastball that can all work, and a guy that's going to be a consistent starter for the Braves for a few years to come, for sure.
You kind of took a point for me, like almost bar for bar there, Garrett, in that we saw whenever the Braves had, needed that emergency starter, you saw like an Allen Wynans, a Darius Vines, that type of talent. But now you're seeing the possibility of more. I don't know the best way to make not make this sound like really harsh, but like more notable prospects filling that role, because you do have someone like a Lucas Braun, like Drew Hackenberg, like players that have a little higher ceilings than these quad A type players. And so we are seeing the Braves build more high-end depth. It's still the pipeline is still pretty, I would say it's better than before. Everybody would say that, but it's still kind of barren, especially when it comes to position prospects. But they are accruing more and more talent. So you're seeing kind of like the average talent, especially in the arms, start to go up a little bit more. So you do have real opportunities for some of these guys to make names for themselves as soon as next year. Joe, let's hear from you.
Yeah, first of all, I want to kind of echo what you're saying, and I was kind of getting prepared to say the same thing. Is, you know, the system is getting stronger. It's stronger definitely than it has been in the past few years. And part of that is some of these younger guys that they've invested in are finally getting on the radar of some of these prospect lists, and also we're seeing them get to the high upper levels. It's hard really to say that you have a strong farm system if all your best players or highest ceiling players are 17, 18 years old, or have 3 months in pro ball because they just got drafted. But as some of these guys are starting to develop, it's easy to see there is a lot of talent in this system. I think also that, as you kind of said, or as Garrett kind of said, is some of these players have still things to work on. You don't have a slam, you know, a bunch of slam dunk prospects like the Braves had in the past. So even some of these that may figure or factor into the 2025 roster, they have things that they need to prove, whether it be their command, or just logging more innings, or their approach at the plate. You know, I think coming into this year, we all kind of anticipated Nacho Alvarez being one of those guys who I don't think either any one of us on this episode today would believe that he is in any way a factor, at least early in the season. I think he probably has a full season worth of work to refine his approach at the plate. But when you look at the roster for the Braves, you have, as Garrett said, Max Fried. He's a free agent. We've seen Alex Anthopoulos not be willing to give pitchers long-term deals, so you have to assume that Max Fried will be pitching somewhere else, as bad as that sounds. Charlie Morton will be 41 next year. We don't know what his future holds, but again, he's 41. Even if he were to come back, you kind of have to start planning to cover some innings because he's going to be 41, right? Chris Sale, we saw him right now, kind of banged up. Spencer Strider, you have to plan for that. So again, as Garrett said, you have to have 11 pitchers or so. So there's a lot of those guys. Drew Hackenberg could see his debut. Lucas Braun is someone who I think later in the year could definitely have an impact. But also, when it comes to trades, there's a lot of guys in this farm system who are either blocked or kind of far away that could make an impact. Someone like Giancarlo Lara. Domingo Gonzalez is a Rule 5 pick, so will he be added to the 40-man roster? Could you have someone who makes an unpredictable rise like Spencer Schwellenbach and J.R. Richey or someone like that? There's a lot of intriguing arms specifically arms that could really make an impact on the roster next year.
I'm going to build off of that point you just made, and I'm going to ask you guys a question. Who on that Rome Emperor's team right now, or rather specifically pitching staff, can you see making that Schwellenbach jump? It's a bit of a tough question. But yeah, who do you think has the best chance, or maybe not even the best chance, just the possibility of making that absurd well on Bog jump? Garrett, you first.
There's two answers here. We mentioned J.R. Richey. You know, talent-wise, it's a guy who could be a top 100 guy next year. I do think the Braves might be a little bit, you know, cautious with him, just with the amount of guys that are ahead of him. But if you're talking about ceiling, if you look throughout the system, you look at the ceiling other than A.J. Smith-Shawver, you know, and Cam Caminiti, which is definitely not a factor next year. But if you're looking at the ceiling of guys that are high A or above, that's the number one guy, right? Like that was a guy that was going to be a top 100 prospect before he got hurt. A guy who would probably be in double A or higher already if he hadn't gotten hurt. So Richie is a guy I could see coming out and excelling next year and being a guy that, again, we talk about the difference between back end starters and guys who could truly be a postseason pitcher. He's a guy that has the talent to really be a Schwellenbach type game changer that you look at and you say, okay, if he's pitching in the postseason, we're winning that game. He has that sort of talent. And really, I mean, I saw even coming back from the injury, his changeup was improved. His command was a bit improved at times. It kind of got poor towards the end of the year, but for the most part, his command was improved. The big thing for him is his velocity, but that's a guy that could really be a mid rotation or better starter. And you could be, one that you could rely on in the postseason. The other guy, and I think he falls into that same category, is Blake Burkhalter. I think I'm the high guy on him. He looked, he had a bad like first inning in the playoffs and then was dominant. He needs to refine the consistency of his changeup and slider. For sure, both of those pitches tend to, get away from him, and he's not getting a lot of, he's not throwing them for strikes enough. Or throwing them around the zone enough to get swings and misses, but he has 4 to 5 pitches. Watching that game, I'm not actually, he may actually be throwing a slider and a curveball, which adds even more depth to his arsenal. But that's a guy that they drafted high. An older prospect like Schwellenbach would have was this year, who dominated at high A, and he's better than the numbers. That's one of the things that I said about Schwellenbach last year was the swing and miss wasn't there yet. And there was some concern that the numbers were good, but the swing and miss wasn't there yet. And I kind of said, give him time. He's coming off of his injury. His command isn't perfect yet. He's still figuring out how to pitch. But if you give him time next year, it's going to happen. I didn't think it would be this good, but I did think that this was going to be a year that it clicked and he became a top 100 type prospect. I think Burkhalter, if he does that well, he's going to be in the major leagues. So I don't think he's a guy that's going to be in the top 100 prospects just because if he does well enough, they're going to move him through the system. But he is a guy that I think has the sort of talent that if it clicks with 5 pitches, solid command of a fastball and cutter, and all five of those pitches could be above average, average to above average pitches. That's a guy that could very quickly find himself in a major league rotation and be a consistent, mid rotation or better starter. It's just a question of can he stay healthy? That was the question in college. That's the question now. Can he stay healthy and make that transition? His velocity looked good towards the end of the year. He was up there touching 97. So it looks like he's on a good track and a guy that I'm really looking forward to watching next year because I think that could be the real breakout prospect for the system next year.
You nailed it. I think all three of us will agree with J.R. Richie, but I'm so glad you talked about Blake Burkhalter because I will admit you were the high one on him for a vast majority of the season. But that it's funny that first inning was not great, but that outing again, you talk, he's coming back from injury as well. He maintained velocity the entire season. He maybe even added a little bit as he got stronger and healthier. He's someone that is now near that he's. I think I have to have him, in my top 10, top 12. Probably I have to find some way to work him in there because I was wildly impressed with him. I didn't see what you saw before Garrett, and I will admit that I was like, okay, well, I don't quite understand why you have this kind of, I still thought he was gonna be a reliever. But he completely proved me wrong the entire season. He stayed a starter. Not only that, he continued to show health. He continued to maintain that velocity throughout an entire game. He's able to throw 4 to 5 different pitches almost at will. Like these are not things that you see from minor league pitchers. Maybe in their like age, 25 plus, and they're been in AAA type of players. Someone you'll be see have that kind of pitch mix, but to have someone in Rome in high A being able to throw those types of pitches anytime he wanted, I was wildly impressed. And I do agree with you. I think he might be the fastest or the biggest riser next season because for me, I have to find a way to put him in my top 12. I was so impressed. And then going back and looking at some older videos, it's like, okay, I don't know how I potentially missed it before. Maybe I was just kind of jaded because I was stuck on him being a reliever. But no, this man's gonna be a starter. Like, I don't see any reason to move him from that role. So, like, Hats off to you, Blake. Way to make me eat crow. Joe, I mean, I know we talked about a couple of the bigger ones. Did you have anyone else on that Rome staff that you think might make that Schwalenbach rise?
Honestly, I think it's one of those two, and I will say Garrett's probably spot on with the J.R. Richie, just because he is still so young, and I think you can kind of push some of the guys that are, a little bit older, like a Schwellenbach, who's not really even that old, but still like a little bit more mature, went to college, and or Berhalter, who also went through college, so. I think you can push those guys a little bit more. They're probably not going to push as hard on J.R. Richie. But I want to say something about Blake Berhalter, and I will give some cr a lot of credit here to Garrett because he has been singing his praises pretty much all year. It's funny because he was almost like a forgotten prospect from a lot of people because he did get hurt. He barely pitched out after the draft, and he actually has come on very strong this year. I didn't see him being a starting pitcher long term, but Garrett was adamant coming into the year that he was going to start. But I think coming into the draft, he pitched 3 years at Auburn and made a grand total of 0 starts, and then pitched, I think, only 3 games before getting hurt, being shut down, and didn't pitch at all in 2023, and then came out and had 16 starts this year and was really, really good. So I think he is definitely the one. To come out and have a chance at making that kind of rise. Looking at the 2022 draft, though, it is pretty incredible that you had Owen Murphy, J.R. Richie, Cole Phillips, who was traded in the Kelnick trade, Blake Berhalter, and Drake Baldwin were the top 5 picks for the Braves in that draft. Pretty sneaky good draft right there.
Yeah, we talk about that 2020 draft a lot because there were a lot of hits, but that one looks to add not only just a lot of high-end talent, but also a lot of really high-end depth as well. And those are some really intriguing names. Too bad about Cole Phillips, again, being hurt once again. Just a crazy talented arm. Hopefully we see him. I don't think he's supposed to pitch next year, or maybe, later in the year. Hopefully things come together and he can really take off and become who we all thought he would be as well. So let's go ahead. We've talked about exceeding our expectations. We talked about people that we think have something to prove, who we think has an impact on Atlanta, and who we have. We're going to call that the Schwalenbach rise, I think, maybe from now on, or we have to find some way to coin that and to just be able to say, oh yeah, that's very Schwalenbachian of him, of like a prospect. We'll figure out some way that's not that, because that's really freaking hard to say. Joe, going to you first. Who are you looking to watch the most, or who are you going to watch closely next season? And what I mean by that is, maybe not necessarily something to prove, but who's just someone that really intrigued you as a player and you want to see more of them before either, forming a complete thought or profile on them, or someone that you just think is Book has set himself up really nicely for a strong 2025.
Yeah, there's a couple that I'm going to touch on just and for different reasons. Really just excited about Drake Baldwin. Side note, I just realized I will be in Phoenix next week, and I am planning on taking in a couple Arizona Fall League games because the days that I'm there and have free, it looks like Drake Baldwin, Hayden Harris, those guys are going to be playing. So I'm hoping I can get some eyes on some of those guys. But I would love to see Drake Baldwin crack this roster. I think he's done everything he can to show that he deserves to be there. Really looking forward to watching him at the big league level at some point next year. For guys that are not in the big leagues, there's quite a few intriguing players who were drafted this year, primarily Cam Caminiti. I think we all know that he has an electric left arm. Still young, can't even vote, I don't think yet. So I'm excited to see him get some extended run in pro ball and just see what he's capable of. We talked about him a lot, J.R. Richie. I want to see him build on what he did getting back on the mound this year. Really excited to see him also possibly move up. As Garrett said, would have been at least double A by now had he not gotten hurt. see if he gets up into the upper minors and see what he can do against some more polished competition. And then I want to see some guys like Ambioris Tavares, who we saw flashes. We saw some things click, and unfortunately had a lost season because of some freak injuries. But if he can build on that and those things that clicked truly did click, and he really starts showing us what the Braves saw in him to make him their top international signing, I think there's a lot to be excited about with him as a player.
Garrett, how about yourself?
Yeah, I mean, Cam Caminiti, J.R. Rich, I mean, those are the obvious guys, you know, the high picks, the guys that we think can be top 100 prospects. I think Caminiti is a top 100 prospect for pipeline. You know, those are the guys that you obviously watch closely. But, I want to go back to Ambioris Tavares. I'm very interested to see how that approach plays. We know, talking to people that the mentality has improved a ton from last year. He's immatured a ton. And I saw an at-bat that really showed that, after the injury, he struggled. But he had an at-bat where he got beat on a couple curveballs, and this was in the playoff series. He got beat on a couple curveballs, and he kept getting beat on that curveball. And then he fouled one or two of them off. He fouled off a fastball. Then he got a curveball in the zone or a slider in the zone, ripped it into left field for an RBI single. That's the sort of maturity from him where when he got down 0-2 last year, he would give up on at-bats. The at-bat was over. Seeing a guy go from just lost at the plate to showing an approach and showing that maturity, that's really what impressed me. And I think that another offseason, getting him healthy, we know the defense is fantastic. There's a lot more power there than what he has shown. That's a guy that can really jump up the system quickly if he can come in and really improve that approach. I think he'll probably repeat high A, but they could move him out of there very quickly. There's really no one blocking him. So I'm interested to see what he does. The other guy that I really liked when I saw him was Jeremy Reyes. I'll let Gaurav say what the injury was when I'm done, but he did have, I believe, a shoulder injury at the end of the year. You'll miss the end of the year, but when he was pitching, he's an 18-year-old that already has fastball, slider, changeup that are average to above average major league pitches. He's sitting in the mid 90s. The command is a concern, but he's also 18. You don't expect those guys to have command, but the ceiling for this guy, when we're talking about, we talk about Caminiti, we talk about Richie, that's a guy that his ceiling, his pure ceiling is right there with those guys. The arm talent is fantastic. He really knows how to spin a breaking ball. I was impressed to see that he already had a feel for a changeup. Those are things that you don't usually see from 18-year-olds. You see it from Caminiti as well, but seeing him do that was impressive for me in the couple of starts that he got. He's got a long way to go on the command. It's a very low likelihood that he reaches that ceiling, but he's a guy that I'm going to keep a close eye on to start next year to see what mechanical changes they're making, what tweaks they've made to his pitches, and a guy that I think could, he's gotten some top 30 love now at the end of the year. He's a guy I think could be one of the quickest risers as well next year, along with Luis Aristeguieta. He did fantastic this year too.
Totally came in and sniped Luis for me. Great call there. I'm also really interested in Carter Holton, second round pick. He's also got an electric arm, just a little undersized. Another, just going down my list of people I really want to see more. Mario Baez, expected a lot more from him this year. Would really like to see, he's got tons of tools, kind of see him take that jump that we thought he might be, become more of, less of a fringe top 30, more of, a top 30 prospect. So really hopeful that, he's going to come in fully healthy next year and then, kind of take off. Another player from that same type of profile as Robert Gonzalez, super toolsy. Would love to see him kind of take that next step and really assert himself as a prospect. A lot to like from both of those guys and what they can potentially do. I am super interested in Nick Montgomery, massive power. He has the potential of being a crazy, top 100 draft pick. He also may never hit. Like, we don't know. He's so intriguing and very dynamic in that way. So that's another player I'm really going to be watching closely. From there, someone who had sneaky good numbers when you look at his final numbers is Drew Compton, right? Not someone that necessarily is going to look like a top 100 prospect because there's nothing too flashy about him, but he walked 12% of the time in Rome. He struck out just 16.5%. down in Augusta, he walked 14% and struck out 18%. These are really good, advanced stats for someone that young and new professional baseball. So that's someone, another person. And again, the Braves could use help in positional prospects. So those are a few of the people that I will be watching closely. Before we wrap up, Garrett, Joe, thanks so much for all the time the two of you dedicated. And it was great being able to work with you on this podcast this season. And I can't wait to come together, talk about what we plan on doing next year and how we can roll out even bigger and better. And, just it's been a lot of fun being able to produce content with the two of you and be able to talk about minor league baseball. I just wanted to see if the two of you had any kind of closing thoughts on that season. Garrett, let's go with you first.
Oh man, I mean, this was one of the most exciting seasons for me because it really felt like, there were a couple of years there where it was like, okay, no one's really doing really well. They're not really producing any guys at the major league level that are, since Michael Harris, they really haven't had any guys stick at the major league level. And this was the first year where it felt like so many guys were getting to the upper levels of the minor leagues, and it felt like it's finally time that the Braves are going to get a few more of those guys to the major level. And that's always the most exciting thing for us is that guy makes his major league debut and you get to, sit front and center and say, this is what you're going to get out of Spencer Schwellebach. Be excited about this guy. And I'm excited about, it was unfortunate we didn't get a ton of breakout hitters outside of Drake Baldwin, but I really think the system is finally getting to the point to where you watch every single day and you see something that impresses you. And that's something we haven't had in a few years.
That's like, Gary, that's like the best way to possibly say the state of the system, because for a while it was like, oof, I don't watch anything. There's nothing to really watch. But now you tend to get at least two pitching matchups that are very interesting. And there's always going to be, like you said, people like Nacho Alvarez even this year taking the big jump and making a splash for himself. Drake Baldwin asserting himself, for us, he's a for sure top 100 player. That type of deal. So, Joe, any closing thoughts from you?
No, I agree. I think this year was finally one of those years ever since, I mean, the years coming out of the rebuild where the system was just stacked that you could pretty much turn on a game every night and there was someone that you were intrigued to watch. And that's really exciting for the system. I think next year's going to be even better when especially some of these young guys start getting into some of the higher levels. And also just like getting to put some more eyes on guys like Wanipa and then hopefully Perdomo after that and Giancarlo Lara, these guys, Jeremy Reyes, these guys that had kind of been bubbling under there and then finally jumped on the scene a little bit more. Excited to get to watch them even more. And again, this is kind of a year to get kind of back into minor league baseball. And I'm hoping that through the first season of having this podcast out, that it kind of got more fans really excited about the future of this system.
What's even more exciting to add on top of that is the Braves, of course, are linked to one of the top, I think, top 15 international players in Diego Torres out of Cuba as well. So adding even more talent before the season begins. Another player, of course, we probably won't be able to watch. He'll probably sun most of the time in the Dominican Summer League or in Florida, if not the entire year. And so we won't be able to see him, but that's another player that, in 2026, someone that's like, okay, let's see what you have to do. And by then, you're hoping the likes of like a Luis Wanipa are over making asserting themselves in Gwinnett and things like that. It's very, it was rough this year, but we see kind of like the not I'm not necessarily gonna say the end, because the Braves need to stack a lot more high-end depth to get to where they once were. But I couldn't have said it better, where there's every single day, there's someone interesting, there's someone you want to watch, there's some kind of plot line. And that's something the Braves haven't had in quite a bit. And it's looking like that is thankfully coming to an end. Well, that wraps up this episode of Peach State Prospects. I hope you liked our end of season review and some of the players that we were most interested in and who we'll be watching closely next year. All of that from the outro has nothing to do. We will be continuing to make episodes this off season. This is not going to be the final season, the final episode of the year or anything like that. We're going to take some time. We're going to get together. We're going to form our off season schedule and make sure to communicate that to the rest of you. And we'll continue to create some awesome work. Ooh. Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Peach State Prospects. If you like what we have to do, don't forget to subscribe and follow us on your favorite podcast platform so you never miss an episode. If you enjoy the show, please leave us a review and share it with your fellow Braves fans. Until next time, keep rooting for our future stars and stay passionate about Braves baseball.